Hey guys, on a quest for epic gear, housewares, and collectibles this holiday season, Loot Crate has an epic range of pop culture items for less than 20 bucks a month. Whether you're shopping for that geek in your life or you are that geek, Loot Crate is the best surprise you know is coming. Every month there's a different theme and new exclusive items you can only get with Loot Crate. Treat yourself every month or give the gift of geeking out to a friend or loved one. They're always watching. They've designed a system to keep you down. They're meddlesome. Guys, it's time for a revolution. Fight the power and pave the way for a brighter tomorrow with December's Rebellious Crate, featuring exclusive items from Assassin's Creed, Mr. Robot, Firefly, and many more, including an exclusive Funko Pop figure and their monthly t-shirt and pin. You have until the 19th at 9 p.m. Pacific to subscribe and receive that month's crate, and when the cutoff happens, it's over. No more. Head on over to lootcrate.com/boogie and enter promo code boogie to save $3 off any new subscription today.
The Boogie Monster with Kyle Kinane and Dave Storm.
The Boogie Monster, podcasting the unknown.
Hey guys, welcome to The Boogie Monster. Normally this is where we would say with Kyle and Dave. This week though, unfortunately, just me, just Dave. Kyle has been pulled away by important Hollywood show business. I can't divulge too much info, but due to our conflicting schedules and him being on the road and doing a bunch of stuff, just couldn't do a crisp, brand new, fresh episode of The Boogie Monster this week. And rather than both literally and figuratively phoning it in, we've decided to do something special and kind of recast and cross-promote our good buddy Ryan Singer's podcast. You've heard us speak of this before, but Ryan Singer, great friend of both Kyle and I, also happens to be my roommate, also happens to be a brilliant comedian, also happens to have a great podcast himself called Me and Paranormal You, and also in the paranormal spectrum. And I like to say that Ryan is kind of the foie gras to our pork rinds. Similar subject matter that we cover on both podcasts, but Ryan definitely comes a little more prepared, digs deeper into some of the science, and even, how would you say, a little more new agey and spiritual than what Kyle and I tend to do as far as basically just two idiots belching into a microphone. Ryan does a great job of really exploring some of the details of some of these paranormal subjects. So if you haven't checked out Me and Paranormal You yet, please do. And what we're going to do right now, Kyle and I were lucky enough to be guests on an episode of Me and Paranormal You several months ago, right before we launched Boogie Monster. I think maybe the week before our first episode, Ryan had us on. And we discussed a whole bunch of crazy stuff and had a good time. So kind of a origin story, if you will, for the Boogie Monster. So, yeah, hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving. Thank you so much for listening every week. And, again, sorry we can't have a nice new fresh episode for you. But I think this is going to be a pretty solid substitute. So please enjoy this episode of Ryan Singer's, he calls it a Mindcast, Me and Paranormal You, right here on the Boogie Monster.
Hello, you're listening to Me and Paranormal You with your host, Ryan Singer. Because it's more fun to believe.
I just took... We don't need to talk about that. My exorcism of the butt.
We've got Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone in the living room, ready to discuss all the things that creep and crawl in the night.
Hey, buddy.
Dave, your third time on the program.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
Welcome back.
Thanks.
From
thanks
downstairs,
for having
from
me.
Below me.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
And you guys just launched. Gosh, what's the name of it? The podcast?
The Boogie Monster.
The Boogie Monster. Yeah, okay. I didn't know what you had officially went with, but the Boogie Monster. That's
well,
name.
We just sort of recorded one episode.
Oh, okay.
And we're not sure if it's... You know when you do something for the first time and you're not sure if it was real, like the first time you tried stand-up? Like, did I do it? Is that how it was supposed to... Did I do that thing right? That's how it was. But we did it. We talked for an hour.
Did you have you listened to go back and just listen to parts of it to see how it sounded?
No, he immediately said, "I'm never listening to that again."
No, I just I sent it up. I sent it off to someone to give me a professional assertion.
Have they responded?
Not yet.
Okay.
It's taking a couple days.
Okay, that could be troubling. No, I think it's going to be great because the Learning Annex is going to be the location, right?
Where you guys
do it.
Cal's got a sweet little side pad.
Yeah.
I've been in the Learning Annex only once when you weren't even in town.
Yeah.
It was before the Jason Isbell concert.
Yeah.
We went over to the Learning Annex and there was some drumming happening.
Yeah, kicked down. There was some electronic drums, bicycle maintenance shop.
Yeah.
The random shooting gallery sometimes.
Oh. What do you got in
for there? BB guns?
Oh, okay.
BB gun.
Oh, he's got two really high powered BB guns.
I've got a decent BB pistol.
Yeah, I got a pistol and a rifle.
Yeah. The
they're a good time.
Yeah, those things I lost my I lost my BBs, but
I lost my BBs.
I lost my BBs.
I lost my BBs.
BBs. What does BBs stand? What does BBs stand for?
Ball bearings.
Really?
I said that with authority, and it just came to me. When I saw what your question was going to be.
It's got
to
be
ball
bearings.
I'm like, ball bearings. I'm going with it. They're a little certain.
It's
got to
be right, though. That's got to be correct.
Ballistic bullets.
Ooh.
No. It's redundant.
Oh. Yeah. Well, didn't you just buy some ghost hunting gear?
I just bought an EMF reader.
Oh, okay. Are you using it? Because you're into the the ghost hunting.
We brought it out to not Chavez Ravine. Whatever Arroyo, the Arroyo. It's not Arroyo Seco. Whatever it is out by Pasadena, it leads all the way up to the mountain, up to JPL. Oh, yeah, it starts Arroyo, at JPL.
Yeah, that's where they first were doing their explode. Where they got had to go
Parsons and everything. And I went out there with Chris Garcia, and it was supposed to be like the bridge, the suicide bridge in Pasadena. You know, when you go on the 210 out to Pasadena, if you're heading east on the right side, there's an old just single road bridge, and that's the suicide bridge, which every bridge is, I think. If one person, this is just I got back problems later in life. This is a paraplegic bridge. What? People just kept jumping off. They're around. They'll tell you. They should have gone for a taller bridge. Too much. All right. Let's not.
Well, I mean, if you are out there thinking about jumping off a bridge, there's some things to consider.
Height.
When picking your bridge. Height is one of, surface that you're landing.
First off, do you really want to do that?
Yeah, you don't want to. Muhammad Ali talked somebody off of jumping out of a building or something. Did you hear that?
What did
Muhammad Ali do?
Yeah, he came out and then he died and then all these stories that I didn't even realize.
The Muhammad Ali Museum in Louisville, Kentucky is breathtaking.
Yeah.
Like I thought I'd go in there. I went in there like 4 or 5 years ago and I thought, it was just killing time before a show. And I was like, it'll be an hour. Go see like maybe some highlights of his best fights.
Yeah.
But it was like, there was so much. I was crying. I was in there crying because during one of the video things they had, I mean, he did so much for civil rights, to end the Vietnam War, all kinds of shit. Like it was unbelievable what he, anyway, he's done so much. He did so much before he even lost his voice.
This is what I was going to start talking about before this, because I didn't know if Meatloaf died either today.
Oh, that's right.
It's does this year, is it starting to feel like a rapture? Like 2016 has been taking a lot of good ones.
Yeah.
But like not a rapture for God, but like a rapture for just cool shit.
Like a cool rapture?
Like it's just taking everything like, all right, you guys don't deserve all these things. And yes, I'm including Meatloaf in that if he passes, because Meatloaf, he's got his own style and he's... But I'm like, it's like 2016's got a weird vibe.
Yeah, it does. And I'll tell you, and it's kind of disconcerting that we're all still here. But, I don't know what that says about what we've been doing, but the
not trying hard enough,
got to work harder to die faster or to be raptured, I guess. No, I do think there's many people out there who believe that 2012 actually was a thing, and slowly but surely the effects of what happened in 2012 will be revealing themselves more and more, like the awakening, the rise of the matriarchy, the shift in consciousness, all kinds of stuff.
The beginning.
Yeah, it was the beginning of something. Like it's not just all like we all want quick, right? We all want like, okay, 2012, it's December 21st. Okay, everything's different now. It's like, you know, it's more like a slow burn.
Mm. All right. I think they're just, those people, I think, like, it didn't all happen. Oh, no, it's like the super slow beginning of it. Are they just saying that now? See, that's what we were. We weren't like out loud saying that it was the super slow beginning, but we all knew like, oh, no, it's the super slow beginning of it. That's what it is.
Well, there's a couple different ways you can kind of do that, right? There's always like when I was a kid and my grandma would tell me all about these great punishments that were foretold from like prophets who Mary or Jesus was visiting. Like one of them was the Virgin Mary will appear over New York City on Christmas Eve, right, to issue this great warning because everybody was being so bad. And so then I went to school that summer for like 4 months because we went back to school in August or whatever. So for like 4 months, I was telling everybody, Christmas Eve, Virgin Mary over New York City, you'll see.
How old were you?
I was probably, 10 years old. And so,
in addition to Santa Claus, also this. You're crazy, Ryan. We're just waiting for Santa to bring our presents, but your thing is pretty nuts.
No, but right behind the sled, you see the Virgin Mary. And she doesn't have shoes on, so she's not Satan pretending to be her. But and it didn't happen, right? So I get back from Christmas break, and everybody's like, what happened? Where's the Virgin Mary? And then my grandma had already told me, well, enough people had heard that this was going to happen, so they changed their ways and repented. So now she didn't have to.
Yeah.
So there's always, it's either it didn't happen because enough people changed, or it is happening, but you just don't realize it, or it's slower.
Okay, so since December 21st, 2012, have things exponentially gotten worse from that date, or are they on the same course of getting worse? We just weren't paying attention to it before that.
I would argue that they're probably the same as they've been, except we're also more hyper aware. We're all much more hyper aware and connected to everything that's happening now, even in short bursts. Like whether it's, because Prince was a big one.
Yeah.
You know, Muhammad Ali, that was a big one. Probably the most famous musical artist and the most famous person in the world died.
Yeah. Bowie, Lemmy, bunch of people this year.
So, like when it comes to Muhammad Ali and even Prince, but Muhammad Ali especially, there's no one in the world more famous than Muhammad Ali. And Prince was like incredible, but there's a bunch of people who have no idea who the fuck Prince is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But even like the poorest people in wherever know who Muhammad Ali is.
Yeah. Well, and some of those people, you could still argue like, yeah, he was sick for a long time. David Bowie had cancer that nobody realized. You know, Prince had a drug problem nobody knew about. So there's something like, oh yeah, of course that's it. But it's like, it's all happening. It's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah. And then, throw on top of everything. I think the undercurrent here is all the crazy election stuff that's happening too. It's like, wow.
That adds a tinge to like, you never realize like, what kind of overtone that adds to society.
To like your everyday existence here, specifically in this country, like, oh my, like this is not something, because we can't get away from it. This is what's happening for the next 5 months.
And there's no,
we're just stuck.
And it's not like, it's just a couple, two old guys that are just going to do the same. It's like, oh no, there's some craziness.
Yeah. There's a reptile and a fucking maniac. Yeah. Like, what do we,
I like that. I'm not sure which is which in your mind.
Well, Kyle and I both share the love of kind of amateur doomsday prepping. We're always kind of joking about that. And he even, he's got some gear and I've collected some stuff. And up until now, it's just been kind of a fun little, hobby. I won't speak for him, but for me, it's like, this is, I never took it too seriously, but it is like, I took it seriously enough to maybe buy a bunch of water and maybe a shotgun. But like, I think if Trump gets elected,
as his roommate Ryan, how do you like that phrase? Maybe a shotgun. How do you like that? Knowing your room's above his, and he sleeps with hot sauce next to his bed because of what might happen in his sleep.
A bottle of whiskey. I'm going to be moving my bed.
Maybe I make my own grenades. I don't know. I'm just saying, if Trump gets elected, I just feel like he's the type of person, or would be the type of president that would maybe put some of this into use. Like, oh, now I need a Jeep and, a water tank.
Yeah, for sure. There's definitely like more than just, oh, I wanted a sweet Jeep on your, like, because you've got the vehicle to get out of town. You've got some supplies to survive a little longer in town. I don't know what I'm just hoping my crystals take me away. I don't know what I'm doing. I got to really like.
Just gonna get on the roof of this building and offer yourself.
Yeah, yeah. And just hope these that new Moldavite pendant helps me fly.
But he's such a maniac. I just see Trump as being the one that brings the doom.
I don't think. You know? I think he's still going, I can't believe they're letting me get this far.
It doesn't seem real.
I think there's no. I honestly think this is just the longest grift. But I don't even blame him. I blame the people that are falling for that shit.
Yeah, and it seems to me that like 150 years ago, he would just be like, oh, it's Teddy Roosevelt. You know what I mean?
Because,
you know, just being, I don't know. I guess the good sign is that people are aware of how crazy he is as opposed to, you know, back in the day, there was obviously racist presidents who were maniacs and war hawks and just out of control. But it was like, you know, you didn't have the connectivity you have now to know like everything about someone. But I think if Trump gets elected president, someone said this, I didn't think about this the other day, like, oh, he won't be able to, because both sides hate him. So he'll just be handcuffed for 4 years and won't be able to do anything. And I guess he could try to do like executive orders on stuff. I mean, if there's any left, because I think Obama did them all, right? So I was just talking to someone like 2 days ago, and they were telling me all about all the executive orders Obama did, like as far as like the alien situation, about how the disclosure about allegedly Obama's going to disclose full information about aliens before he leaves office.
Really? That Hillary's kind of nod to it earlier.
Yeah, she's trying to. I think she's trying to get in on it. She was trying to get in on it, right? But apparently, this is the theory. He's going to disclose about aliens, and which will be the United States of America, the world leader, talking about aliens. So he'll be the guy who changed the world forever. He'll win another Nobel Prize, and he'll go down in history as the man who changed the world forever, like the entire world, right? And so apparently he wants that before he leaves office. Now, other people say, well, you got Nibiru, this planet coming circling back through every 3,600 years, and it's happening in August. And then Obama has already done all these executive orders to make sure he can just maintain power even after the election, because now aliens are here. There's going to be a comet shower. Okay, it's another one of those doomsday.
Okay.
It's the new doomsday thing.
What day is this supposed to be?
I'll have to find out specifically, but it's in August. It's like, I think middle to late August is when this is supposed to happen.
Good, because my birthday is early August.
Okay, you'll get to turn. Yeah. What is it?
Well, 30. I plan on doing some day drinking. I don't want that stealing my thunder.
I'm going to have a day party because this meteor shower thing, Mike.
But that's the next big conspiracy theory going on the internet right now is the Nibiru coming back, bringing with it like a comet shower. That's going to cause chaos. Obama's going to form the new world government.
This was something I was listening to Coast to Coast. I take it all cynically, but with the hopes that it's real. But somebody pointing out how they're cross promoting the army with the new Independence Day movie.
I haven't seen the commercials.
That's a little strange thing. It's Bill Pullman doing the voiceover talking about the. In the movie Independence Day, you see people fighting a foreign force trying to take over our land. Where do you think Hollywood gets it from? The army. And like, it just goes in from like movie effects into the army, just showing training, like them training.
So they're not even hiding it anymore.
Well, that's what, is it just a nonchalant, like, who's benefit, like the, it's a peculiar cross promotion.
Yeah, if nothing else, it makes you
wonder. Want to fight aliens?
Like,
join the army. Or is it just that's how dumb the entire, the whole nation is? Like, nobody gives a shit about ISIS. Well, aliens. Yep, sign up because you'll fight aliens.
Wow.
But it's also, there's also the conspiracy theorists out there who would say they're trying to make sure you get that narrative in your head when it comes to aliens. When aliens show up, whether they're peaceful or not, they want everyone to be afraid of them because then that gives them total power.
That's what aliens will want?
Martial law. No, that's what the people in power here on Earth want. Like when aliens show up, regardless if they're here in peace, everyone's going to be like, careful. Remember all these movies where the aliens come and eat us and do all this other horrible shit? That's what they're going to do, even though they know they're not going to. But so they can still control. And then now they have a new level of control forever. Or what, until we catch
Trump
up.
Finally gets the Mexicans on his side to be like, all right, there's different aliens.
We need to build the wall higher.
You guys, all right, you guys are okay. I've been, you know what, I was short-sighted. You guys are cool.
Yeah, yeah.
These guys.
We're going to make the aliens build the bubble around the earth.
These are the true undocumented workers.
Yeah.
Speaking of aliens and UFOs, I had a realization just 2 days ago. I've always been a fan of UFOs and aliens. But the other day I went down a time travel rabbit hole. And it was made aware to me that maybe UFOs are time travelers.
Oh, humans from the future.
Yeah.
I've been sitting on that one. That's the one I think.
I never thought of that. And it makes pretty good sense.
There's
not to change the direction.
No, there's no. This is, we go wherever we want on this. The I do like that idea because it also ties into the thing that I'm just obsessed with right now is that we're all robots. But
yeah.
The idea that they're just humans from the future trying to come back, and this is where I have the questions. It's like, what purpose does it serve to travel into the past to try to make, and that's why the abductions happen, is they're trying to cure disease. They're trying to take samples and figure out where the disease came that they can cure in the future.
This is where the time travel fallacy is for me. It's the whole idea is that if you're now, think of just being now. This is the end of time right now is the moment we're in. And to get to this point, everything in the past had to happen exactly how it happened to get to here. Whether it be random, however, whatever it happened, it got to this point. If you go back and change anything, it's Back to the Future. They explain it Back to the Future better than I will. But that's the fallacy for me. Like, why would they be coming back?
But that's if you buy into that, I guess. Does that necessarily have to be the truth? Does that necessarily have to be the way it works? Like, maybe Back to the Future said that and everybody really kind of, because it makes sense logically in our minds, but maybe that doesn't matter at all. Maybe going back doesn't affect it unless you, like, you know, killed off a family lineage of somebody.
Yeah.
Potentially. But maybe you still just end up here, but through different, maybe it just kind of readjusts. Outcome is the same, but like the road to get there is different.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Well, okay. I guess that, okay. Then the players, you're admitting that the players are set in their ways and are going to go on the same path.
Well, I guess
no
that's
matter
more
what,
of a destiny
can't,
thing.
Yeah, you can't, you can't change. Okay. That does play into destiny then. Destiny is real. And in the future, they know that. So they can come back and tinker with the players and mess with the dials, but everything's still going to get to the end, the end zone the way it's supposed to get there. So you could take one person from here and poke around a butthole a little bit, and you could do that because they're still going to land. Or maybe they're, you know, maybe as I'm admitting myself as well, we're not as significant to the world chessboard as we think we are. So we could be fucked with and moved around and, you know, whatever our trajectory. Like, none of us are going to be ambassadors. You know, we're all, you know, make our money telling jokes and then try to see things in the dark with our free time. You know, if they fuck with us or something, like, that's fine. We're not, you know, world leaders changing the course of how the globe is going to act. It's not Bill and Ted's
Speak for yourself.
Excellent Adventure.
But also,
all right. Like, well, Dave's got bigger plans
got
for
plans.
His life.
But it also speaks to maybe
those
we're just
barbecue
as,
jokes brought peace to the Middle East once they tasted Dave smoked wings.
Can you imagine?
once ISIS tasted Dave's smoked pork shoulder, they renounced Allah. They got rid of all of it.
That's the one thing the whole world could agree on.
They dropped some smoked pork shoulder over the Middle East.
But maybe we're just not, in general, as human beings, as important as we think we are.
Yeah.
So, we actually have zero to little input on the future of the universe in any way. So therefore, we're like so expendable. The same way we would just maybe look at trees or, you know, an apple tree or something, or a cockroach running around. Like,
I've heard that theory before, but like, look at the chaos that we've created in the last, just in the last 200 years. Look what we've done to this earth. Look at what, for good and bad. Look at all the advancements in technology. Look at all the things we've screwed up. I feel like we are significant enough for like aliens to want to snoop around and see what our deal is.
We've created chaos for ourselves. I mean, the earth is going to be fine.
Well, what if this? Yeah, what if we just eliminate ourselves from the earth? And, you know, already what whoever's visiting us is the future human race that exists on Mars or wherever. And that's why they come back, because they know this is over. They know this sphere is done with. There's a limited – I do believe that. I do believe human beings, we're going to – we'll wipe a majority of ourselves off this earth through our own doing or something.
Or something else will happen.
Or the robots. It's going to be like, oh, the robots took over the other robots and made new robots. And it's just going to be – yeah, it's like, why don't you go in that shed? Ah, the rats run that shed now. You know, I think that's what's going to happen with planet Earth. But maybe that's why if time travelers are, you know, if aliens are human time travelers are coming back, like, ah, we could pick a few ones off and see what did go wrong over there. Let's make sure we don't make the mistake again by studying what did go wrong at that time. And maybe.
I mean, that would make sense to me. Like, the only reason you study the past is to try to learn lessons from it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, what they say, like, history, if you don't know history, you're doomed to repeat it. But I don't know, man. Like, if Elon Musk is right and it's a 1 in billion chance that this is not a simulation
that we're living inside of right now. We were talking the other day about
that. I have to do a lot more research on it. I mean, it's so beyond my scope of understanding, truly. But the idea that law of exponential return anyway, it's called lore is like the acronym for it. And it's like every 2 years, technology doubles. So that's been happening for a while. So what that means is by 2035 or 2045, I forget which specifically, that's when singularity happens.
Yeah.
The cyborgization of humans and computers.
Now, what is singularity?
Singularity is when computers and like humans become one.
Okay.
Right. So for example, like, I just call it robots, but like, think like robots are even like nanotechnology that you could put into your blood cells or inside your bloodstream that can heal your body from the inside. Like, so stop eight damaged cells. It can get rid of cancer, can regenerate, maybe keep you young forever, that kind of stuff. And then people are like, well, this shit's getting too smart. Now it'll just take over your body. That's the downside. Yeah. But the good side is like, no, this is the stuff that's going to be like internal smart technology, healthcare.
Who's guiding it?
You know? So, and then when it becomes too smart, then it takes over, and artificial intelligence gets rid of us because it realizes it doesn't need us because it's smarter than us now and it has become self-aware.
Yeah.
Right? Aware of itself. But then if it is in fact true that this is a simulation, like Elon Musk says, that means we have become self-aware of being created by something, which means we're the fucking robots, dude.
So this is a simulation right now?
If in fact this is a simulation, that means we've become self-aware of being created inside of a simulation, meaning we are the artificial intelligence that became self-aware of itself. Does that make sense? So we are the artificial intelligence that got too smart. Does that make sense?
What's he talking about?
But now? So it already happened.
Well, no,
Well,
my theory is we are the singularity and we don't realize it because we think we're people. We think they're these human beings, right? But what we don't realize is we are the singularity. We are the artificial intelligence that was created that ended up getting too smart. We're the robots, dude.
But I'm a robot, whoever designed me needs to be fired.
Well, there's got to have variety.
Dave's one of them barbecue robots.
They did a piss poor job.
No, but there is. It's fun to think about that we could be the robots, you know, and that we just have to make sure that we become smart enough to get rid of whoever our robot overlord is before the robots we created as robots that were created get smarter than us.
That you will eventually. You couldn't say that again right now.
That's what my grandfather always said.
You couldn't repeat yourself.
Son, let me tell you about the robot.
But there is time travel into that, too. People think that artificial intelligence has become – I think part of the Elon Musk thing is about the simulation is that like if this law of exponential return thing is accurate, that means it's already happened. Like technology has already gotten so advanced. We've already done it as like humans, right, and gotten so smart that we've been able to just go forward in time and go back in time and simulate all of this.
So this artificial intelligence isn't so artificial.
No.
Just end the podcast right there. It just blew everybody's mind.
And then just
yeah. Oh, they fell. They're coming in. They're coming in. They know we got the answers.
No, but I mean, it is interesting to think about how
we could be the robots that became too self-aware, the artificial intelligence that somehow became aware of itself. Because that's going to happen, right?
What's healing itself on you right now? Like what? So then we were worse before.
Well, I have an immune system that does that protects.
But
me.
At what point were we? How long ago were we not the robots? Were we never not robots?
That would be the.
Are human beings just creations of robots?
That would be the. Yeah, I mean, because we have electricity in our blood cells. I mean, so like, you know, people say DNA is your genetic coding. I mean, these are just words that people use, but it's like all the same stuff. It's like computer software is code.
Yeah.
We run on electricity. Like electric pulses wake you up every morning from your brain to your muscles, right? So like people say it's life force, but essentially it's just electricity that keeps us. You know, when your heart stops, they use those electric pads like to try to just give you like – it's like you're jumping a car battery.
So it's maybe like a sociopath or a serial killer, somebody who's like the robot hasn't fully achieved the level of – like well, I'm trying to explain consciousness and why do you feel bad about something then? Is that some programming that's saying like, look, you hurt somebody, so now you feel bad because that's the reaction to that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess it would have to be some kind of built-in morality software.
That almost makes sense. Like a sociopath is more robotic of like, oh, no, I don't have – there's no consequence to my actions. Yeah. It's like, oh, you didn't have that part put in.
Yeah.
You didn't have that – you weren't programmed to realize there are consequences.
But the singularity is the concept of like humans and, you know, artificial intelligence like – becoming cyborgs, becoming like melting into one. So that is to say that there is a human element there still, right? So maybe that's the evolutionary process. Like that's what they argue. Like this guy, Ray Kurzweil, he's got this book. He's like the poster child for it. He didn't come up with it, but he's like the poster child who's like really into it. Like he's almost too into it. You know what I mean? He's the guy who's like, yeah, we're gonna be robots and we can just fuck robots and like, you know what I mean? It's like you need to settle down.
You
okay,
can
we
fuck
don't need
robots.
To be, we don't
now.
Need to be. Yeah, you can. It's like we don't need to be like that quick, like into this. Like let's relax and settle down. There needs to be regulations and people are scared.
That's my thing. I don't think the morality has caught up to the technology.
Well, hell no, right?
And will it ever? You know, it's that making things because you can, not because you should. And I don't know if it's ever – just to go back the other way, that we are human people, conscious, strange, spiritual, alive beings with a timeline. You know, we won't self-repair. That like – yeah, like nothing we're making – like we're not going to keep up with – I don't think so. I have a very morose outlook for the human race.
Well, there's definitely a lag. You know what I mean? I was talking to some guy who's got a 16-year-old daughter, and he's like, dude, Instagram, Snapchat, like there's no way to keep up with your kids to try to like be a parent. Like our parents, like in retrospect, had it easy, I guess.
Yeah.
In just trying to – what it all comes down to is just bottling sexuality, right? Or just trying to make sure your kids don't fuck up their life before it even starts. But they don't realize that yet. So, I mean, that might not be the greatest example of morality lagging behind technology, but it's impossible to really keep up with it, I think.
Or when does something come along that holds a society's interest more than the internet?
Ooh. Oh, I don't know.
You know, when does human interaction – I was reading a thing about virtual reality and how that's going to cause – like eventually you could just live in a pod and never leave.
Oh, well,
any experience you want to have can be provided by virtual reality. Any human contact you want to have can be provided by virtual reality. You will have a fuck robot and virtual reality things and you're going to order your groceries online and it's going to be delivered by a drone. And we'll eventually anti-socialize ourselves into being pod people. That is what, you know, the 50s science fiction fear. And we'll just do that to ourselves. And then if you want to talk about who's going to come to Earth and take over, they'll be like aliens coming here, guns blazing. It'll be like, oh, no, it's done already. You guys already did this for us. All right, cool. Thanks. We'll just
we wouldn't even know that they came because we'd still be stuck inside of our pods.
Yeah. So that's like – that's the stuff where I'm like – I know I sound wacky believing that. I'm like, oh, no, I believe that's – you hear about people that die because they play video games for too long.
Mm-hmm.
They don't get up and go to the bathroom. They forget to drink. Like that's a few people.
Yeah.
But now that the technology is more and more providing you an experience that's so close to a real thing without having to put human effort forth towards the meeting somebody or having an experience of traveling somewhere to see a location, I think it's good.
No, I agree. And I think technology, with all it's done good, I think it's very harmful. Like, just the fact that, I know it's cliche at this point, but like, we're all just walking around staring at our phones. Like, we're so distracted. We're so detached from everyday life. I think it's a slippery slope.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's our robot brain.
Yeah.
Now we've got our robot brain to go along with our robot body, which is our robot truth. And, you know, if you're listening today, this is brought to you by the Church of Ryan's Robots. And I do wonder, though, I think I'm inclined to it, even though I like stuff. I like cool stuff. Like, I go to Best Buy and I just walk around and look at stuff. I don't buy anything. I just look.
It's impressive, yeah.
Yeah, it's very impressive. But I think when I probably won't be alive for it, but when it comes to that like hyper technology virtual reality thing, there's going to be like naturalists, you know, like whether they're like just ultra hippies, people who don't want to do that, right?
Yeah.
There's always going to be people who reject technology. Mm-hmm. Sometimes for good reasons, sometimes for really bad reasons, but I think there will still be like pockets of humanity that like to go out into the woods and like actual feel real dirt. But then it gets to the point like, how can you tell the difference?
But that's going to be people that just go to the store to buy their groceries. They're going to be like somebody that hiked the Appalachian
Trail. Yeah, those are going
to
be that.
Last weekend, I went to the store.
Wow.
Do you remember the store? Yeah, I went to it. It's still there. Yeah, I can't believe it.
You have to have a passport to go to like the grocery store or a smoke shop.
Yeah.
And you get stamped at every like just different place you go.
It's honor system. There's only one person, one park ranger working it. And you got to honorably pay for your stuff and roam the aisles.
And they're probably criminals.
Yeah.
The criminals are the ones they make like man the actual human stations.
Yeah, you have to still have a physical job in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, we're joking about it, but I think that is going to be the truth. I mean, because even look at, all right, take one little aspect of the store or commerce, like music. Used to, we'd go to the record store or the whatever department store. Mm-hmm. You know, now those are almost non-existent. I mean, there's a few independent record stores and music stores, but like, I don't know what the percentage is, but it's got to be 90-something percent of all music now is purchased online. I just pulled that out of my ass, but whatever the number is. But like, that's probably going to start carrying over to other things, groceries and clothes and everything. I mean, it already is, but not to that extreme. But yeah, one day, a grocery store, what's that? Like, that's scary to think about.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't understand how, you know, the drone dropping everything off, I don't think that can work just because you can't just have a sky full of drones running into each other. Like, how do they not run into each other?
But that's the same thought everybody had about cars. And eventually they set up street signs and the way roads should work. If we get far enough to where that, there's just drones flying through the sky. That's what's happening with cars. Like, cars were just running over children when people first got cars. Yeah. They're just plowing over people going through cars. Yeah. Couldn't work on like muddy streets because they're built for horse and carriages. And like, people are going to be doing these and getting cars. We need to regulate this.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I guess regulating the sky just seems more difficult to me.
Yeah.
But I guess you could, if you can have drones, you can have floating stop signs.
Yeah, I'm sure there's going to be elevations between this and this. You know, you're assigned these types in this elevation.
Commerce lane.
Yeah, commerce lane, private lane, whatever. The different,
you know, rich, like, people lane.
Yeah, whichever, just like lanes in a highway. The elevation with which you can operate in over certain areas. I'm assuming that's what's going to happen.
I just hope it doesn't interfere with the insect superhighway. Are you familiar with the insect superhighway?
How far up is that?
Oh, man, I forget how far up it is, but like, oh, it's so cool.
You
it's
were telling
so
me about
cool.
that.
I mean,
what if they all just get caught up in it?
Yeah.
Like it's like a wind stream? Like,
allegedly, some bugs just want to start a new life and like get away from where they are.
Yeah, man.
And I'm sure
this
it has to be
some kind of – Pixar movie. This isn't real.
Well, from what I've read on the internet.
This is a Disney script.
On wikibuglife.com, some insects just truly want to break away from – like, I guess their whatever it is, their community, and start a new one. It's probably they have some biological imperative to spread the species out, right, into other parts of the world.
I'm already just thinking about that one ant. Like, ah, oh, it's Like, we're just doing this every day.
So they kind of jump off of the ledge, so to speak, like the leaf or whatever it is, and they get caught up in a breeze, or they let themselves get caught in a breeze, and then boom, next you know, they find their way into the insect superhighway, and they just keep going and going and going until they drop out of it at some point.
Wow.
Yeah, and they're so light that they probably float a little bit.
I agree that there's an insect superhighway. I'm not going to go with the motivation.
Well, yeah, I don't think like
someday I'm going to grow up and I'm going to be a dancer. And,
like, yeah, just one beetle. Like, I've always wanted to write.
Yeah. I need a cabin in the woods so I can clear my head. Yeah, I think if we had drones flying around, and drones are fun, and we all know Gilbert. And Gilbert was the first guy I knew with a drone.
Yeah.
And I don't know how I got it. I don't ask questions when Gilbert has nice things. And, but it was so fun, like, going out in the middle of the night, flying it. And I could see why someone in his neighborhood would have thought, there's a UFO in my street right now. This was before they were everywhere, right? So, because it made this weird noise, it had these weird lights on it, and made weird movements. So, like, if you didn't know that was a drone before you knew drones were a thing, you would have been like, there's a UFO right here, just flying around. Then it was just gone.
Unidentified flying object. That's the definition.
And, so I guess if you I've always wondered why like cars don't just get like, well, the smart car that drives itself, that's the thing that's like that's new now, that's going to be happening up here. But then someone brought up the moral argument against smart cars. I don't know, I'd never even considered it. If a self-driving car and another self-driving car, something is malfunctioning or something, and there's going to be an accident. Which self-driving car, depending on who has the passenger, like, are you a higher degree, are you a more important passenger than the other passenger? Like, which car, how do they decide which car takes the brunt of the accident, who gets hurt? Like, when two smart cars are, so they have to decide, there has to be a decision there to where the smart cars have to decide which car gets damaged more.
But I think that's the idea of the smart car. If there's an accident, it's because they both faulted out. I think I thought the whole thing is that if there's that large of an impact between self-driving cars, isn't that because it's a malfunction? Like, it's not like we're consciously like, oh, we're crashing.
Yeah, I think the argument is one of those things where, you know, people would say this will never come up, but it's bound to come up eventually, where it will happen. And like trying to think of all the scenarios that you don't anticipate.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a situation where like, okay, well, how do those two cars decide? Like, let's say there's a fatality in the accident and the cars aren't like malfunctioning. And is like, it's just a total hypothetical. But there's not a malfunction and the two cars have to decide which person dies. Then it's like
I don't think that's the decision made at the last minute. Like, let's flip a coin. Let's flip an electronic coin and murder one of our guys.
Because if there's one person in one car and then there's a person with their two kids in another car, most people would say, well, probably the person with the two kids gets to survive that accident or doesn't veer off into a ditch.
That's not how accidents work, though. That's not. I don't think that's.
But when we're not driving cars, it's a total different experience.
Maybe you should take a little accountability and drive your own fucking car. Like, that annoys
Dave's
me.
Dave's going to join the army because of that Independence Day commercial.
I'm just saying, like, you lazy piece of shit. Like, just drive a car. If you die in a car wreck and you're the passenger and the car was driving itself,
I think
good riddance.
Driving a car is going to be one of those recreations. You know, it's going to be like one of those. It's going to be like driving a car is going to be like riding go-karts now. It's going to be some place where you just drive a car all over the place out here instead of having to do this for you and obey these rules. But from my argument with the dying in a – like, if you got two of them – say they're just two of them heading at each other, self-driving cars. If they're aware they're going to crash, then they're going to avoid – they're just going to do it to avoid the crash. I don't think they would just jump to like, who should we kill? They're just going to operate in defense, not in collateral damage, not in
casualties. Okay, let's say it's something outside of another car. Let's say there's people on bikes just coming into the roadway outside of the – where it's not another smart car. Do you stop like abruptly and injure the person in the car?
Follow the rules of the road.
Or do you veer off the side of the road to not hit people on a bike?
I think you follow the rules of the road. I think those cars would be programmed to follow the rules of the road. So if there's an accident where both cars are following the rules of the road, there should never be an accident. I think that's the thinking. There should never be an accident. If all the rules are designed so that they're followed to the letter of the law, there would never be an accident. You know?
Okay.
That's my thinking. So if they're both going, nope, yeah, this is the law, this car's abiding the law, and that car's abiding the law, there shouldn't be an accident unless there's a malfunction.
Well, yeah. here's one. There's a kid runs out into the street chasing a ball, a little kid. And the only way to avoid him is for the car to veer off to the side to not run over this kid and run into a pole that could potentially kill the passenger of the car.
The kid dies.
The kid dies.
Should have been inside playing a video game. Get out of the street, little kid.
The same accident. Yeah, the same accident that would happen.
So that's the rules of the road if a kid, kind of situation.
If somebody's ever jumped out in front of your car where you would have enough time to go like, oh, God, I'm going to have to just try and hit that pole instead. You were driving too fast for that neighborhood. Or, yeah, the kid jumped out on a highway while you were doing 60. If there's a kid playing with a ball in a yard, chances are the speed limit's 25 miles an hour, and that's because you can safely stop or avoid an accident like that. I'm still going with the fact that they're programmed by the rules of the road. Yeah. And so
it makes sense to me. I never even considered these morality issues that could come up with self-driving cars because you have, you know, in theory, there would never be traffic jams. There would never be accidents. Traffic would be much less stressful.
Slower but more efficient.
Exactly.
Because I drive – I'm a real speed demon out there.
Yeah. So you'd – so it would overall improve the whole driving situation. Like there would never be a 45-minute standstill on the 405 if everyone was in a self-driving car.
Yeah.
It would always be moving because you never have to worry about somebody speeding up in the right lane to merge over to the left real quick before the exit lane happens. And then everybody behind them has to slam on their brakes because this asshole jumped over.
Yeah.
And then that makes everyone stop behind that. And then it's like a rubber band.
I think your travel time would be the same.
Probably.
I think rush hour is rush hour because there's that many cars out there.
Yeah.
Not because people drive like dicks. It's mostly because there's that many cars.
Do you think we'll get to the point where people look back on this? I mean, I was thinking about this the other day where – I was like going up to the park and I was like, oh, 200 years from now, people will probably look back and like, oh, people used to run or jog in neighborhoods. Like,
yeah,
how primitive was that? Like the same way we kind of maybe look back on like driving a wagon across the country, you know, with like no like hot showers and shit like that, unless you were boiling water or whatever.
I'm sure we get to the point where you could just you know, electronically stimulate your body for exercise and never have to do like – you used to go run around in a circle to lose weight. And I just download – if you're really a cyborg, I just download a program that causes – that changes my taste buds and I decide I like eating healthy now and that helps.
Hmm.
Or maybe you could just digitally enhance yourself to enjoy the activities or you download the activities for yourself. I think that – of course, you look back 50 years on what everybody – like, oh, I used to go – maybe when lap belts, you never wore a seat belt. Cars weighed four times as much as they weighed now. And, you know, gas was never – like you think about what people did for recreation back then. Of course they'll look at it like it's silly.
I just learned that the guy who – I think it was the person who invented the seat belt was like – worked for Volvo. And they knew they could patent it if they wanted.
Yeah.
Because it was like such an advanced design to save lives. But instead, they made sure everybody got it.
It should, yeah.
Instead of getting super rich off of it, which I thought was pretty cool.
That's why Volvo still patting itself on the back for being so safe.
Yep.
Remember the seatbelt thing we did? It's probably by a Volvo because of that thing we did with the seatbelt.
And I like the idea though of like being able to like just put electrodes on your body, like I mean, or just download yourself into shape.
Especially if you're in a virtual reality program, you just stimulate your muscles to act like you're jogging. You put on a virtual reality program like you're jogging.
And if everybody looks good, does anybody look good?
Yeah.
There's now if everyone has like 8 abs.
It's like walking through Beverly Hills where everybody has the surgery.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's so creepy.
In Korea, if there's a area of Seoul, it's like the Beverly Hills of Seoul, Korea, and everybody like they get the same surgery and it's they want to make themselves look more westernized, so they get their eyes rounded and their skin lightened, And it's like, sounds like a race joke. It's like everybody looks exactly the same. I'm sure if somebody from somewhere else came through Beverly Hills and just saw like fake boobs and fake lips and blonde hair and everybody like, oh, they all look the same. It's you walk around, you're like, I don't want to say this out loud, but I think I'm walking past the same woman every 10 feet.
Wow.
Because they all get the same surgery. And then it's like, well, why there's nothing unique about it, but it's all they made five on the beach. Reading a book and two of them walk by. They're like, oh, suntan. Because it's laughable that you'd want darker skin.
Yeah. Wow. I just don't understand how people get to that mode of thought to where, like, when you do, like, the people who do, like, the plastic surgery to look like a cat or something, you know, or.
I think if you're going to do it, go for that.
You might as well be, like, really out there and distinct.
Yeah, I mean, I get stuck. I get my own mind stuck between, like, why would you – even sometimes – and admittedly, like, and I feel bad. Like, even with – I caught myself thinking, like, well, transgender, what – I got into that mindset. Well, what's going to stop you from just thinking, like, oh, I'm not even a person anymore. I want to be this. Like, where's the limit? If you just think you're something else, you feel you're something else, that we should all treat you like you're that other thing. But then I thought – it doesn't bother me. Like, what? Just because I don't understand it doesn't mean it's wrong. That's everybody's problem, because they don't understand something. They denounce it. It's like, you're not hurting me. If you, whatever you think you are inside, go for it. I mean, I'm not going to put out hay on my table if you think you're a horse and want to come in. Yeah. And you've got plastic surgery to look like a horse and you want to put fucking hooves on and stuff. I'm not going to feed you hay.
You still got to pay taxes.
Yeah, you still got to do the things.
Horses don't pay taxes.
Are you still showering upright in your house? And if you're just using a hose and you live in a barn, then okay, lower property taxes for you. But yeah, I started thinking about that kind of stuff. Like plastic surgery, if you want to be a cat, be a cat. That's – you're doing something
different. I guess I know. I wasn't thinking about that like in modern context of, you know, if someone – really thinks they identify as a cat, whatever that would be.
Well, I guess, yeah. Would you call somebody mentally ill if they thought they were a cat and they were going through plastic surgery to become a cat?
I think we're headed into the direction of saying no.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's like, it's that slippery slope like you were talking about. Then, like, is there a line that ever gets drawn? Are there limits to this ever? I mean, because there's people who believe they're aliens. There's people who... and those people have been called kooks for a long time.
Yeah.
You know, but something so distinct looking from us as far as like a cat, I think the only difference you could come up with is that gender is kind of this construct, right?
Yeah.
At least that we've defined in many ways. But when it comes to a cat and a human being, there's fundamental differences that we can measure scientifically through DNA and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Like
they are actually different creatures or separate from us. So I think it would still lean towards mentally ill if someone thought they were a cat.
Yeah. I mean, my thinking, first and foremost, if you're doing it safe, you're like you're not harming yourself, so to speak, this is your vehicle, you know, whatever pilot spirituality dropped into it. It's your vehicle. Do what you want to it. I was trying to think of what I was going to say. I think, well, you know, okay, like that's okay. Dubstep. It makes sense. Don't worry. Like dubstep came out and everybody's like, oh, this is annoying and shitty. And somebody else is like, at least it's something new. At least there was a new of what music is. It's all pretty derivative, but dubstep was like this. It was like, it's like the first new music in a while. Whether you like it or not, it's a new style of music.
Yeah. Sonically, it was.
Sonically, it was something new. And I think that's another part where you think we're heading towards a singularity. But I think in 150 years, the future is going to be like someone's kind of a cat because they wanted to change themselves into that. And you're going to, and there's going to be a lot more, you know, Cantina from Star Wars type action where we've all decided, like, wait a minute, we can modify our vehicles in whatever way we want.
Which would be nice because, I mean, it's still surprising how much control we don't have over our bodies, our vehicle, to a certain degree as far as when it comes to suicide.
Yeah.
Which attempting suicide is against the law. Or especially with women's bodies and, you know, having babies, that's, you know, it's well documented how crazy all that still is happening.
I'm going to transition into a wild boar. Give me some nice tusks.
I could see that. I could see that.
I feel tusks like I could pull that off.
I feel like, you know, whether – I think maybe –
it's the only thing missing
what
from my
is,
game is tusks.
People say that, oh, my spirit animal is this. Maybe what that really means is I identify as that animal.
Yeah.
When someone's like really hardcore into their spirit animal, maybe what they're really saying is they identify as a wild boar or a cat, like we would say in the future.
Yeah.
Maybe so.
Because I would never call anyone crazy or mentally ill if, you know, they, you know, had a really deep connection to like their spirit animal.
Yeah. But somebody's like, I like angels so much, I had it permanently drawn into my skin. 20 years ago, getting a tattoo was like, that's their... You've altered your vehicle forever. Now it's like just an afterthought. Like, go for it. Now there's much more, I think, a more temporary stance of like, yeah, what, we're around for how long? Whatever. Do what you want.
Who cares?
My last tattoo literally was given 20 seconds of thought.
Yeah.
It was kind of a spur of the moment thing. It was for a TV taping. They're like,
barbecue
hey,
one?
This lady's giving out free tattoos. But like, you gotta, we need it. We need to do it now. Like, we need to do it now. You need to decide. And I was barbecue. And I just got BBQ. Just, BBQ. But like, literally, I'm not exaggerating, 20 seconds of thought to permanently alter my vehicle.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit.
Yeah. It's funny how, you know, how like we're not holding ourselves to be so precious anymore.
Yeah.
But then want to cast judgment on other people. Like, how could you get plastic surgery? It's like, what? I get tattoos. You want big weird lips? Get big weird lips. I mean, I'm going to look at you.
That cat like dude is freaky. Is he still around? You seen the cat
guy? Dude or ladies that get like...
There's that one dude that I used to see on like the Ripley's Believe It or Not show and stuff.
Got the whiskers.
The whiskers and
stuck
everything.
Into his cheeks.
All that body modification stuff has like gone to like such intricate like design, like with the forked tongues and all that kind of stuff. That's it is really kind of like fascinating how you can truly become almost anything you want.
That just
now
became my thing.
You just started doing
yeah, but be a cat.
Dave jumped into some weird stuff lately.
Kyle usually don't like to do this, and he talked about a loan. Gonna get some whiskers.
Just get some new whiskers.
Redoing my nose.
I got a tail I got my eye on. I got my eye on a tail.
I had a friend who was like, he's kind of a loner dude and like clearly hung out in his, like when we were younger and lived in his parents' basement. That's just where his room was. But like hung out with his cats too long. I caught him like cleaning his face by like licking his hand and then like,
wow.
Like cleaning his face. I mean, which is what you would do. Like, oh, I got a little something there. You might lick your thumb and do it. But he was doing it like a cat, like licking his hand and then just cleaning, like, and then pawing at his face. And I was like, you're cleaning yourself like a cat right now.
He was appropriating. Was like what? Someone would what? Accuse him of appropriating cat culture.
Yeah. This isn't, you know, you didn't suffer like they did. Yeah, you don't get to.
There's something interesting about the appropriation circle and, you know, all that, but we don't have to get into that. But I do want to ask one question. We'll kind of put a bow on all this. If you had to decide or make a decision in this moment, whether you thought, I'm kind of fascinated with this now because I feel like everything in the past used to be focused on utopia in the future. And then at least seemingly for the past 15 years, everyone's been pretty hyper obsessed with dystopian futures. And I think it'll probably swing back to utopia at some point.
As long as it's not Fruitopia. That drink sucked.
I don't remember if I
remember Fruitopia.
I don't know if I ever had it.
It was like a tea with flavored
teas.
It was
like a shitty fruit punch.
I do remember it, but
I don't
think I ever had it.
It's like Coca-Cola's version of like a Kool-Aid or fruit punch or something. Put out a lot of different flavors. Okay. Sorry. It was just terrible. It was a terrible product.
Okay.
I'm glad
so
it's
no
gone.
No Fruitopia.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
So do you think – when you think of the future –
is Fruitopia.
When you think of the future with technology and all this kind of stuff, do you think of it as a utopian future or do you think of it as a dystopian future?
I mean, I'm a bit of a – I don't think I'm that pessimistic, but in this context, I think dystopian. Like I just feel like – I don't know. I just feel like we're fucking it up. Going back to everything we're talking about, like I don't see it having a happy ending.
Do you think there's a way to change that?
Well, if there is, I'm not the guy to figure it out. It's a lot of pressure. You're
don't bring
on me.
Back sorry, that goddamn yeah, fruit sorry. Drink. I'll tell you that much.
I didn't mean to try to, you know, make you write your own republic right now. But okay. What do you think, Kyle?
Yeah, I don't have a high hope for the future, but that's a problem. Like, I think it's your outlook. If all this technology that's been coming down lately, and you get like you say, you get excited at Best Buy. If you view it that way, and enough people view it that way with excitement and good moral center, then we should be okay. I'm fearful of it because I don't understand. Like I was saying before, things I don't just because I don't understand them doesn't mean they're wrong. But that's an emotion I have to fight most often. Yeah, that's what I do. I'm like most often, that's my first reaction. What is that? That's stupid.
Oh, stupid.
Yeah, but I have to like, all right, don't just get angry
I don't
with
get it
right away. But I think there's enough. Although we might be the final generation of, well, we are the final generation of people that grew up without social networks.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. I was talking to some younger people the other day, and social networking and all that shit came up, and they were genuinely mad when Facebook opened up to the public, to us oldies. Right when you, because it used to be you had a college email address was the only way you could have an account on Facebook, and then when they went public and went open up to everybody, all those people were mad. And this one guy was talking about how Facebook started, quote, Facebook was made for me, end quote, right? Because he was in college when it was made.
Fucking yeah.
I mean, well, you know, so he said that, and then he got a job in a university. Like after right working at a college right after he was out of college, and everybody was like, "Your professors, you're on the staff here. You can't be on Facebook. It's weird." And he's like, "No, but Facebook was made for me. Like when I was in college, I was the first one of the first people on Facebook. Now you're telling me I can't be on it." So it's like these steps, you know, like of social networking, like belonging to people, which I think is weird because we don't have any concept of that, like. Maybe when the card got full, you know, the robot went full, but I forget exactly what we were talking about when it did. I don't have the capabilities to go back and find the exact last thing we said. So the basic idea was I was getting a dystopian from Dave is the future, and Kyle was kind of dystopian, kind of like going back and forth between dystopian. Oh, careful with that. That's picking up. I hear that in the recording.
Sorry about that.
Dave was jerking off the mic stand.
Little shiny things.
Okay. Oh, this one twirls.
So, well, let's plug the things that – so it's the Bogeyman.
Boogie Monster.
The Boogie Monster, sorry. And that's B-O-G-E? Or
B-O-O-G-I-E. Yeah, I picked a word that everybody has their different spelling of. So, everybody will find it, really.
Well, the Boogie Monster, I think that's pretty... I mean, most people, unless you're like hardcore into like this
I
stuff,
spelled it like boogie, be, like how when you're dancing, you boogie.
Yeah, yeah. So. I like that. As opposed to like bogey or...
I never got the Boogie Monster when it was spelled like B-O-G-E-Y. I'm like, no, bogey, that's... It's golf, right?
Well, I think it's because it's from across the pond, so it's like the bogey monster, you know, like bogey.
Oh, is
I don't it? Know. I don't even know if that's true.
Yeah, but, that sounds made up.
No, but I do know coconut is named after the boogie monster. The fruit coconut. Cocoa is El Coco or El Cuco is the name of he was the Spanish speaking boogie monster. Just the same thing. It was the Boogie Monster, but El Coco was his name. And then when Spanish explorers first saw the coconut, they thought it looked like the head of El Coco, which was this monster that kind of had like a pumpkin head, which was their version of the Boogie Monster. And so
this
that's
also
where,
sounds made up.
No, this yeah, is this is real. This is
you're
real.
Really good at that, though. Like you're always tricking me.
I'm not. But normally, whenever I'm lying about something, it's within 5 to 10 seconds. I'm like, oh, I'm just messing with you.
You know, the word ham is Chinese, Dave.
Do what?
No, but coconut is named after the boogie monster. That's true. That is a true thing.
I'm gonna hold on to that information. You can retell it.
No, you, and trust me, you can, because this was. Trust me, you can, because I researched that. That's something that came up. You know, I came up with that when we were on tour, and you and Andy dropped me off at a Starbucks, and I had to like research for like 5 hours before a recording. Remember that one of these days?
Was your episode about coconuts?
It was about the boogeyman.
Oh, okay.
It was about the boogeyman. I recorded it in the parking lot of the hotel, and people were like walking by the car like, what the fuck is going on in there? Just some dude in a van with headphones and a microphone talking about the boogeyman.
That's a fun tour.
Full well within their right to be
all
right.
Yeah. And then Dave's out there like doing kettlebell exercises. Like a monster.
Yeah, I used to work out in the parking lot because we were staying at it's such crappy motels. They didn't even have fitness centers.
Yeah.
And that was also when I was on tour, like, not to go down this road, but like on tour, I stay up really late because, you know, after shows, I'm amped.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm bringing the thunder all night. You know, it's kind of hard to come down from that. And I was just, I would just go wandering around at like 3 a.m. in like different cities, just like a cat burglar. It was pretty cool.
I'm surprised any of you are alive after these things.
Yeah, I don't know how. I mean, you do have like creepy down. You can like when you today I was looking for a mic stand in the closet and I closed the door and he's just standing there. Like, how did I not hear you?
Oh, like, man, I so could have killed you so many times.
You could have been a really good killer. Man.
Do you have machetes hidden throughout the apartment at this point?
I do. I have bladed weapons strategically placed all over my vehicle and my room.
And Cholula.
Do you want hot sauce, whiskey,
knives?
Make
sure I move my bed to the other side where your bed is not.
Yeah.
I'll have to make sure I do that. Okay, so it's The Boogie Monster.
Yeah.
It's going to be on iTunes. It's going to be on Stitcher. It's going to be on Google Play. It's going to be on SoundCloud probably. It'll be everywhere.
I guess.
Sounds a lot crazier than it actually is. You'll find somebody who will do all that for you. I'll put you in touch with my guy if you want. So he does, I think, one other podcast outside of his own.
How did you describe it?
We got some time.
You described it as just two idiots belching into a microphone.
Yeah,
basically
pretty much
what it is.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not going to be really wrangled into a theme. Yeah.
Oh, we didn't even get to talk about the ghost hunting stuff that we started with, but we'll have to do another one.
I'll do more of it. Yeah.
And
yeah,
you know how like you put in a lot of time and effort in researching all your topics and stuff. You know, on your podcast on Me and Paranormal You. Yeah, we're not going to do that.
Yeah, we'd probably. Yeah. really going to hope that the guest really brings the
really
heat.
Brings something. Well, you know, I don't know. I think that's, you know, between the two of you, the dynamic you've got going and your varied interest in Bigfoot and also ghosts hunting and then just your perspective, you're both very well traveled. You both are a lot smarter than maybe you let on. I heard you're very good at Scrabble, by the way, Kyle. I've heard that your Scrabble game is like top notch.
That's not true at all.
That's a look on his face.
Am I supposed to go along with this, like the coconut thing? I'm not.
Who told you that?
Now you're just bullshitting about me to me.
Oh, okay.
You're good at Scrabble. That. I sure am, Ryan. Oh, goddamn, he's good.
I thought I heard that.
Oh, no, it's Andy who's the Scrabble master.
Who's Andy?
Andy Sanford, our tour mate. You know, the tour that we were just talking about.
There's so many. Yeah. There's so many. I meant like which Andy is what I meant.
Yeah.
I didn't know if we were talking about Andy Erickson or Andy Sanford. Okay.
Yeah, you're right.
We got it.
But Kyle's good at other stuff. We'll find some stuff he's good about and talk about that next time.
Okay. Connect Four, maybe?
Connect Four? Okay.
Shot in the dark there. I don't know.
Mountain biking? You're good at that.
He's okay, good at eating all of his groceries.
I eat all my groceries even after they go bad.
Yeah. He does not waste food. I like that.
Waste. Oh, I got some.
It's a great quality.
I got some Miracle Whip clicking over 10 months past the expiration date right now.
We couldn't go to a concert together last week because he, quote, got a hold of some bad mayonnaise. True story.
You just on purpose actually ate mayonnaise that was in your fridge for too long?
It's not like it didn't seem bad.
Did you smell it first? But I guess mayonnaise doesn't smell good when it's
true.
No, that's the thing. Normally. Mayonnaise just smells like it's got to look real fucked up for me to not eat it.
I always thought that
it was bad. No, because I made some tuna salad with it. I told Dave, I was like, it's bucking a little bit.
Did you make it 8 seconds before before?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I won the rodeo on that.
Okay,
I won the rodeo on that.
Well, I.
Stayed on that.
I needed to live with a woman before I stopped my rule of, oh, it doesn't matter how long something's been in here. I can always microwave it, whatever it is, because microwave, the radiation will kill anything, right? Was my thought. So I would just microwave anything that I wanted to use, even if it wasn't supposed to be hot. And then I would let it cool down and then use it.
You use the microwave like chemotherapy for your food.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like it's going to be a long process. It's going to be unpleasant, but we're going to get...
Yeah, going to let that mustard cool down for about an hour so we can eat. Okay, well, I think we did it, dudes. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, thank you, buddy.
Hell yeah.
The Boogie Monster Podcast. Check it out. Kyle Clemane, Dave Stone. You know, put them into your ear holes. Check out their stand-up comedy, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, very, very funny dudes. And do we want to plug websites or anything? Or...
I don't even know if I have one.
People
anymore.
Can Google.
People can find.
Yeah, just Google. Yeah,
if you don't know how to find someone just by their full name,
so I love when somebody.
I don't know.
Yeah, when somebody texts you something and then ask a question in the text, like look at the use your robot.
Yeah,
the thing that you just used to ask me this.
Yeah, if you're listening to this Mindcast, which is paranormal based, and you don't know how to use Google, I have a lot of questions for you. Because that's the only way you can find stuff like this is by going deep into the internet, usually.
Yeah.
So, okay, cool. Thanks for listening. I'm going to record the outro. Just act like... I mean, you guys can chime in if you want, but it just makes it easier if it's one final.
All right,
we'll shut up.
I'll pause for music to cue. Cue the music.
Chime.
Thank you for listening to another experience of Me and Paranormal You. This is Ryan Singer. That was Kyle Kinane and Dave Stone. One of them was my roommate. Currently, well, no, it depends on when you listen to it. Maybe we're no longer roommates. Maybe you got all that TV money, and I'll still be your roommate.
Because, you don't want us to interrupt this.
I'm going to wherever you move.
Yeah.
With your money. No, you can interrupt it if you want.
This was the precious one file.
This was the precious. I wanted to get that one take. You know, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Miracle Whip and Buck and Tuna Salad. Old Buck and Tuna Salad. Buck Martinez, baseball announcer, is actually the face of Buck. Wait. Joe Buck. I hate that guy. I don't hate him. I don't hate anybody. MeandParanormalU.com is the website. I have a large distaste for Miracle Whip and Joe Buck. RyanSingerComedy.com is my website. You can see where I'll be. I'll be in Denver. Probably I've already been gone from Denver by the time you hear this. Oh, my 40th birthday, July 9th. Go Bananas Comedy Club. I'll be there all weekend. So please don't try to kill me if you come to those shows. I will be on stage trying to talk and not being drunk. I'm 40. It's not like I'm turning 21. 818-839-0593. That's the Mind Line. Give me a call. Leave me a message. Send me a text message. The Open Your Mind Line show, which will be June 28th, probably already happened where I recorded. We did the first ever open lines where you can call in and I'll be recording it all. So that probably already happened. But if it didn't, you know, do that. Instagram. I like Instagram. Twitter and Facebook, whatever. You can have it. Instagram, Rysing, R-Y-S-I-N-G. And thanks again for listening. And if I don't see you on the road or at a live show, doing a live one at the Art City Festival in Columbus, Ohio, sometime in August, I'm not sure when, Jim Harold, wow, like one of the biggest paranormal podcasters in the world, is going to be my live guest. So that'll be fun, talking about ghost stories and all kinds of stuff. If I don't see you there, I'll see you at the Watering Hole on the Astral Plane. We did it.
As long as the goddamn episode.
Yeah, right?
All right, so there you have it. Me and Paranormal You, our good buddy Ryan Singer. We recorded that a few months ago, right before Boogie Monster was born. So I hope you enjoyed that. And if you did, please check out Ryan's podcast, Me and Paranormal You. Listen to that every week. You know, that's the great thing about podcasts. I mean, it's infinite. You know, there's no real competition or envy or jealousy amongst podcasts. You can listen to as many as you want. So we don't care if you listen to his as much or more than the Boogie Monster. If you're a fan of this show, odds are you're probably going to be a fan of his show. So please continue to support Ryan. So anyway, that's our episode of the Boogie Monster this week. Kind of a substitute version, if you will. But yeah, so let's go ahead and wrap it up. Comic of the week this week, why not? Who better than our buddy Ryan Singer? Hope you enjoyed that. You probably already know Ryan's comedy. If you don't, he's got three incredible albums available. So funny. He's got what are they called? So funny, I can't even remember what they're called. How to Get High Without Drugs. That's a great one he did several years ago. That was his first one. Then he did Comedy Wondertown. And most recently, about a year ago, he put out Immortal for Now. So check out those three albums from our good buddy, Ryan Singer, Comic of the Week, and keep supporting his podcast if you haven't already. As far as our own plugs, Kyle just wrapped up a tour, so I don't think he's got any immediate dates on the books, but definitely check out this week, Thursday, yet another pair of back-to-back episodes of Those Who Can't. That's every Thursday on True TV. I believe that's 10-9 Central. And the last several weeks, they've been doing two episodes back-to-back. That's really cool. So if you haven't checked out that show, I don't know if Kyle appears in this week's episodes. I'm assuming he does. He usually has a pretty substantial role in most of those episodes. But check out Those Who Can't. And as far as me, I've got a nice tour coming up next month, Dave Stone's Holly Jolly Tour. I'm doing 15 cities, I think, throughout the Southeast. I'll rattle off a couple of right now. December 12th, I'll be in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. That's at Spanish Moon. December 13th, Mobile, Alabama at the Merry Widow. And December 14th, Savannah, Georgia at Barrel House South. And apparently Savannah, Georgia, one of the most haunted cities in America. So I'm definitely going to have to find some time to snoop around and see what I can get into down in Savannah. So come see a show. And, yeah, check out my Twitter. I don't think I ever plugged my Twitter on here, at Dave Stone Comedy, if you want to follow me on Twitter. So, yeah, if you want to troll me, that's fine. I've had a couple of recent incidents where I've had to engage in some Twitter battles with some dipshit trolls. But, hey, I take all comers, whatever. I don't care. BoogieMonsterPodcast@gmail.com if you want to reach out with some cool fan art, if you need that biscuit recipe or whatever, you can reach us there. BoogieMonsterPod is our Twitter. No vowels in the monster. BoogieMonsterPod is our Twitter. And, yeah, so anyway, thanks so much for listening to The Boogie Monster. I hope you enjoyed this episode. We will see you next week. Bye-bye.
The Boogie Monster. Bye.